Lord, give us ears to hear your truth, hearts to love you and wills to obey you, because we ask it in your precious name and through your mighty power. Amen. We are a few weeks, of course, into a new term, a new year at school. But do you know the first and most important thing that happens come a new year? Interestingly enough, it's the most important thing that happens when someone comes new to a church or to a business. It's always the most important thing. It's the thing that guarantees fruit and success and good fair loving relationships. What is it then? It's all to do with a name. The first thing in a new school year is all about your name. The teacher will never get through and will never build a relationship unless first he or she can grasp a child's name. Are you good at that? I must admit I have good days and bad days. Once in a while I have been known to get folks' names wrong. Once in a while I just go completely blank. But it's so important, and it's no mistake at all, that in St. Matthew's Gospel we are given every name and detail. This is because these are people that matter. These are people that Jesus has not just randomly picked, but people who he knows. If you remember someone's name, it actually means you've accepted them, that you remember them, that they have made a mark on your life. If you forget, there is a very high risk, even if it's not true, that you will give the impression that you simply don't care. And so Matthew 10 begins with two extraordinary truths. It begins like this: then Jesus called them and gave them authority. That's unthinkable. Jesus beckoned in 12 people that he had chosen by hands himself. He called them in by name, and then he said, "My power now is yours. You go and take my good news to a world that so desperately needs it." That's what we see first. That is what they were called to. Then we're told who they are. What an extraordinary mission. And it all begins so powerfully. They are told to cast out demons, to cure every disease, not just some, not just the easy ones, but everything. Such was the power of Jesus given to them. To receive that authority, to hear the Master say their names, must have left them almost floating. But then it changes, doesn't it? All of a sudden, there is not good news, because actually, with responsibility comes danger. It's ironic, isn't it, that in the world of their day, they were told that in all likelihood, for their faith, they would be arrested. In all likelihood, for their faith, they would end up before judges. Sound at all familiar? Not just in their day, but in ours as well. But there is more to come. There is a little twist at the end. There are all of these warnings. Jesus even says to them, don't you go equipped. Don't you waver and stop trusting me, such that you think, oh well, I'll take a few things just in case his power doesn't work. Just in case his promise isn't what it seems to be. Jesus says, don't you do that. You go as you are. I've called you as you are. You go now as you are. There are all of those warnings. And then this. The one who the one who endures will be saved. I was visiting someone last week and they said to me, do you know, Mark, I've been a churchgoer all of my life and I love my church. But recently, the rectors started saying these things that I'm not sure about. You must be saved. But that's not a very Church of Ireland thing. It is a very biblical thing. That is what Jesus says, that something needs to change. And that thing is when we recognize that on our own we will never, ever, ever be good enough. And we need to accept him into our hearts. If we've not done that, there's no point. Jesus says, the one who endures. That means clings on, doesn't let go of what they believe. That one will be saved. I want to go back, might be a bit back to front this morning. I want to talk just for a moment or two before I stop about the first reading. Those words from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. Chapter 2 begins in a really brutal way. It makes fascinating reading. We don't have the advantage here in church on a Sunday of what came before. But Paul simply says this: you have no excuse. No excuse. You judge others as if you are better. You have no excuse. But it needn't be like that. You see, where these two passages find harmony is that called by Jesus and known by Jesus and knowing Jesus changes lives, not just ours, but the lives of those we share as well. Paul says something else that makes very, very interesting reading. I wonder if you noticed it came up twice. He was talking about judgment and salvation. And he says this: first of all, to the Jews, then to everyone else. Both judgment and deliverance. He was writing, of course, when he referred to Jews as to those who trusted in God. Here is the scary message. What he was saying is that if you know God's word and still you behave in a way that is unworthy of him, there is no excuse. And you will be judged first. But you will also be saved first if you stand with Jesus. In Paul's day, there was this extraordinary belief. There was a confidence amongst the Jews that they were special, that they were chosen and safe. Not because of anything they did, not because they followed God's ways, but just because of where they had come from. I'm sorry. We still have the same. As a church, we live in a context where we believe that some are better than others. We are the church, not those down the road. Perhaps those down the road are saying, we're the church, not... But there's no place for that. There is to be no pride in where we have come from. Only in what has been done for us by Jesus. Powerful words from St. Paul. He says this: God shows no partiality. Not interested. Church of Ireland? Makes no difference. It's about Jesus. Only about Jesus. Two things had to happen. Before going out, they had to come in. Jesus called them to him. They had to be close to him to go out to others. The message today is very, very, very simple. Jesus calls us closer to him. Jesus calls us not to claim anything above anyone else, because we've all fallen short of God's glory. But if we come close to Him, He will never, ever, ever leave us. And He will lead us to others and to life eternal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how extraordinary that Your Son called them by name and invested in them all of His power. Though we have sinned and fallen so far short, we long to hear You call our name. Help us to acknowledge where we have failed You and to look up and let You lead us out. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.